Welcome to the Fantasy NASCAR podcast brought to you by RaceForThePrize.com. Let's do the price check for the Dover Xfinity Series race. One of my favorite videos of the week, especially for the Xfinity Series, because we do see a big differentiation in pricing, and there's always value to explore, track history to explore, to maybe exploit some of the cheaper drivers or current form stats to exploit. Dig deeper into the stats. DraftKings doesn't always mark these drivers up based on their recent performances or the track history or the changes in the car. So it's fun. Funsies. If you want to get access to all its data, RaceForThePrize.com, Venmo, PayPal, Cash App, $30. Give you the May sheets. I'll throw in Dover as well. Glad that you're here. Come join us. Channel's growing. Everything's popping. Chad Fincham in a Carl Long car. We've seen Carl Long twice this year. Finished two laps down at COTA. Not going to put much behind that, but they did have a mechanical failure in their other race at Martinsville. I don't trust this car. I know that in the past we have seen optimal lineups at Dover. Timmy Hill was a play in an optimal lineup just for a straight value play, starting dead last, gets 7 attrition points and works. I don't expect that Carl Long car to be able to do that. And there's other super cheap options if we go down that route. Dawson Cram, another super cheap option. If you are, for whatever reason, really spending up a lot at the top, which, I mean, there is validity and credence to playing an Allgaier or a Custer or a Truex lineup. And if you do fit 3 drivers in your lineup that are north of $10,000, then you are more than likely going to have to go down to one of these guys at the bottom. But from where I stand, I don't expect or believe that it would be a good practice to really try to jam those 3 drivers in. Obviously, we'll have to see how qualifying plays out because that could force our hand a little bit. If we have one of those elite drivers who's going to get a top 5 and a bunch of place differential points. But if things are normal and we're expecting 3 hogs or dominators, that's always kind of dicey to expect 3 guys to split out the laps. And those 3 guys to be the 3 guys that we expect and to be the most expensive. If that does happen, then yeah, you will need to be under this 5K range. I don't expect that to happen, and I really don't want to roster Dawson Cram, who is 4 or 5 laps down, I believe, at Texas. And if you didn't have speed at Texas, it's very unlikely you're going to have speed at Dover. And if you didn't have speed at Texas, for the most part, you didn't have speed at the other intermediate tracks. Some of these drivers may have had decent short course races, short track races recently, but I would put much more weight into how they've run at Las Vegas, Texas, Phoenix, and if your car was not fast at those intermediate track speedways, then you're not going to be fast at Dover. Honeyman had a very disappointing race, didn't do anything at Texas, had been running well, but again, if we look at the calendar, with a lot of short tracks, road courses, and those are places where possibly Honeyman and the new young sports team could compete with the field. Plenty of caution, short track racing. Now they go to Texas, intermediate track, and they really just don't have the speed. They're running at the back end of 25 to 30 all day. That being said, if we are forced to do extreme savings, $4,800 is pretty good based on the equipment. This car has run a lot better than the Davis cars at the intermediate tracks. Carl Long car is going nowhere. The daughter car for Emerling hasn't shown much speed either. Now, maybe the other daughter car can perform a little bit better with David Starr, but Emerling hasn't shown anything. If I'm forced to go under 5K and I can get a guy in the very back, then yes. Now, let's say Honeyman shows up and qualifies pretty well, and then as we've seen him do at the short tracks in the mid-20s. Maybe we look at the lap-by-lap data, which you can get at RaceForThePrize.com, Venmo, PayPal, Cash App. Get the sheets, and you can see his laps. If his laps are encouraging, maybe you bump him up a little bit, but I don't expect a big increase from what he did at Texas. He was the back of the middle pack, 25th to 30th place race car. Now, if he's starting dead last, then yes, he'll be the target, the guy that we put in so that we can chase some of the more expensive drivers. If you're going with that sure punt, now I don't even really classify him as a pure punt, but maybe he is at Dover. And this is going to be a challenging track for some of these drivers that have never raced at Dover before. Intermediate, very fast, short track tendencies as well. Very easy to just fall into 28th place, 30th place, and then just stay there all day. You don't expect, especially a young driver, even veteran drivers, to figure something out and find speed at Dover. All of a sudden, it clicks and you walk your way through the field. In reality, the only way I see Honeyman moving forward really is through attrition, through wrecks, and that could possibly be him, through mechanical failures. But if we're just basing it on pure speed, they didn't really have it. Ryan Ellis hasn't had that speed either this year. Seems like this is the forgotten team of Tommy Joe Martin's Alpha Prime. He has, like, Martinsville, he's running well at the end, but that's Martinsville, and it does not factor in whatsoever to this race. Texas, he had a 25th at best race car. Again, if we are forced to chase someone at the back, yeah, Ellison Honeyman will be in play, but it's simply through attrition. It's not that we believe in what Ellis is doing or what the car is doing. They just don't have the speed to really work their way through the mid-pack to compete with the mid-pack drivers, let alone the top-tier teams. But they are clearly bottom of the mid-pack, at least at the intermediate tracks. Short tracks, possibly a different story, much more competitive, much more equal playing field. But know what you're doing. If you're playing Ellis and Sugar Daddy, you're really just hoping for chaos. You want pure savings. Not chaos, but you need attrition to get it forward. And what we have seen in previous optimal lineups, if you watched the video in the past, you're taking four guys that are from pretty solid cars, and then your value picks typically are at the top of the mid-pack. The drivers who run well in practice and then duplicate or replicate that same speed in the race. Watch the optimal lineup videos that I've made, and you'll see that the value picks are not mysteries. They're not shocking. They are drivers who you would expect to have some speed, who've had speed all year, and just go out there and do their business. This is Dover. It's a green flag race. You've got what you got. You finish where you run. And where do we expect Ellison Sugarman to run? Sugarman, Sugar Daddy, Honeyman. We expect him to run around 28th at best. And that's probably where he'll finish. Maybe you go up to a little bit to Perkins. But again, the concern is Dover is its own animal. No experience at Dover. That's a little frightening. The problem is that just that Dover experience really worries me. And it's still Blaine Perkins. And if anywhere he's been well, a good race car driver, it's been more of the short flat tracks, not necessarily this track. But I will throw in there, which we will mention again, seat cars have been very strong at Dover over the years. They perform really well. And it's not just Ryan Sieg. It's been his teammates. So they have a pretty good setup. So one of the things that Perkins will have on his side, as opposed to Ellis and Honeyman, is that he will have better equipment, and the team has a very good setup. He also has a veteran crew chief in Steve Addington. Abbott's not a bad crew chief. Addington's probably raced this track 50 times. Dover hasn't changed much in those 50 times. So Perkins will have that added edge, but ultimately what you're likely going to do if you are considering these drivers is simply play the one that can maximize your place differential a little bit. Because again, none of them really fit the mold, unless Perkins is fast in practice. But none of them fit the mold of the value play that we see at Dover, where you finish where you run. And there isn't any surprises. The value picks are typically the top of the mid-pack, and Perkins is not top of the mid-pack. Same thing can be said of David Starr. Again, he fits the same mold. If we're just straight punting, we're chasing place differential. I would much rather trust the seed car and the lack of experience with Perkins to just go out there and turn laps if it comes down to it. Smithley didn't have any speed in Texas either. So I would put him right down at the bottom with the other crew, with the Cram, with the Emmerling, with the Ellis. Lower than Starr in my book. But it doesn't matter because I'm probably not playing Starr either. The only way I'm going to these drivers is if you force my hand, because I'm chasing so much at the top and they're starting DFL, dead effing last. I don't have confirmation at the moment on Yaley. Assuming this is going to be the Gase car. Joey Gase at Texas was a 30th place car all day. At least he finished the race. Yaley could probably get a little bit more out of it. But again, I don't have confirmation that he is racing. I think he could finish better than all of these drivers. At the same time, I think he could start closer to the front than all of these drivers. We have seen him perform pretty well at Dover in the past. If for whatever reason, at Dover, he is given very good race cars like he has seen in the past, then it is a possible conversation to be had. And we'll look real quick. So the Dover 22, just to refresh my mind, and Dover 21, to see what was the equipment that Yaley was in. I mean, it's clearly going to be better than what he's in. He's in a Carl Long car. Started 31st. Average rank position 22. Well, that scares me. Because now you're thinking, well, he could do it in a Carl Long car. That was 2022. Oh, Lord. I hate that we now have to consider J.J. Yaley because of that one bit of information. I believe this is much better equipment. Our Motorsports in 2021. So that tells us a different story. Again, he was in the Alton lineup, ran in the top 20 all day, finishes 14th. That was Our Motorsports. That's top of the mid-pack. Needless to say, though, he did perform, get a lot out of, man, if he got a lot out of that Carl Long car, he could get a lot out of whatever car he's going to be in. But we got to see what he's in. I'd like to see him run some practice laps, look at his data before we make any questions, because he could very easily drop to the bottom in our rankings or be the best value play so far that we talked about. Now, for 5,500, we can get a much better driver, who has been running around 20th in just about every single race. This Tommy Joe Martin's car, Alpha Prime, fitness equipment, whatever you want to do. He sells a bunch of stuff. Oh, Cesar Baccarella. But look at his finishes. 21st, 14th, 15th, 20th. Runs where he needs to run. Gets as much out of it as he can. Obviously, a little less speed at Texas. Just like his teammate Ryan Ellis. So that is a bit of a concern. But he makes it through the race, benefits from some of the cautions at the end, gets a 21st place finish. Not bad. The only problem is he's definitely going to qualify higher than all the drivers that we just went over and some of the drivers we're about to go over. We look at his rating throughout the season. 23rd puts him 25th on the board. It's fine. If we get place differential out of Brennan Poole a little bit, he is one of the guys that kind of fits that mold, who run close to the 20th, finish around that spot. That's the value play that we want. 5,500 is a pretty good amount of savings. He can work. Haley Deegan can work as well. I know people are going to cringe every time you consider playing Haley Deegan. Well, should we look at... I'm not even going to look and see what she did at Dover. Should we look and see what she's done at Dover in the trucks? Well, we don't have to. I looked, because this is an extensive podcast, and they pulled Dover off the calendar before she entered the truck series. No experience, that scares me. The one positive I will add is that she had, before wrecking at Texas, a top 20 car. And one of the places where she has been rosterable is the intermediate tracks in the Xfinity series. I think I'd probably rather go to Poole. And that would be based on Dover experience. But I do expect, moving forward, Swinski / Self AM Racing to continue to provide pretty solid rides at the intermediate tracks and for Deegan to be competitive in the mid-pack towards the top of the mid-pack, run around 20th. Dover's a different animal. Let's see how she handles practice. But right now, there is cause for concern. I mean, it's Haley Deegan. There's plenty of cause for concern. This will be a tough challenge, tough task. But, again, she was fine at Texas. But then again, she's had plenty of 1.5-mile experience. Weatherman's running pretty well for Gosselin. Better version of Poole. Better car. Top 20 type guy. was having a really good race or decent race to Texas before wrecking at the very end. So, yeah, he's got the poor finish on your screen. But he was about a 20th place car towards the end of the race. Worth a shot. I'm not giving you as much savings. Problem is, he's probably going to start closer to the front. But again, these drivers that we're seeing in optimal lineups as the value pick are not necessarily bringing in monster place differential. Now, you will see in the 2023 race some optimals come through or the value picks with more place differential than you would expect, but that was because qualifying was rained out. For the most part, they're going to start where they should start. They're going to run where they should run. They're going to finish where they're going to finish. And so you may need to dial down some of your expectations from your value picks. Now, again, we've got to see qualifying, see how things shape up. The Weatherman and Poole are both in play for drivers that can move forward a little bit, get a decent finish, and save us a little bit of money. It's equipment we can trust. It's drivers that we can trust. Whereas the first 10 guys that we talked about are in shaky equipment, are shaky drivers with limited experience who are just out there. Once we hit the Sieg, we get a little bit more excited. Again, it's a Sieg car. Kyle Sieg ran really well in his last race at Texas. 21st driver rating. Spent a lot of time in the top 20. Finishes 14th. Benefits at the end by getting the last lucky dog. I think he might have had fresher tires as well in that situation. So he gets that boost based on that lucky dog. But again, 21st, 5,800. We could categorize him with Weatherman and with Poole. But more importantly, he does have the Sieg power that we like to see. Love to see a little bit better finishes. But again, not surprised to see a young driver struggle at Dover. If you like Weatherman, then you like Sieg. And if you like Poole, then you like Sieg. Caden Honeycutt, again, we're going to have to worry about Dover experience. We've got to worry about experience in general. And since that is the case, we might as well pull up Honeycutt's limited experience. Who is Honeycutt? Well, then you haven't been listening to the podcast over the years. Honeycutt is a late model guy. Tons of late model experience. Really helps out at the short tracks. But maybe not so much when we look at the intermediate tracks and Xfinity Series. I believe if we look at his ARCA races, they're all DNFs. Probably in shaky equipment. And mainly been running the truck series, so that is what we'll look at. We'll look just for a second here in the Honeycutt has one Xfinity race. It was for Mike Harmon at Martinsville, so you can toss that one out. Does have 23 truck races under his belt, so plenty of intermediate track races. None at Dover, obviously. We'll look at and see what he's done in better equipment. You can see ninth in Martinsville, not really worried, but he does have a 12th place finish at Bristol for Nice earlier this season. And we do know there is correlation between Bristol and Dover. And for him to finish 12th at Bristol, that's pretty exciting. Even in not the best equipment, halfway decent here at Bristol, decent finishes at Phoenix, probably don't really care much at Atlanta. Yeah, so Honeycutt's got enough experience. I am a supporter of Honeycutt. I think he is a decent driver. There you go, another 13th place running for Stephen Lane / On Point. I think he can get it done. I don't want to be too bullish or too excited because ultimately, though, a lot of horsepower in the Xfinity car. It is a Gosselin ride. I still think I'd rather go with a little bit more experience in Weatherman or the exceptional Sieg rides. Probably play Honeycutt before I would play Haley Deegan. Sorry, just that's the way it is. Don't mean to disrespect Deegan in any way. Poole would probably come before Honeycutt, but again, one of the deciding factors will be to look at that practice data and also look at their qualifying positions. Not that I'm completely chasing place differential, but ultimately, I do need points. And if someone can get me, believably, three or four more place differential points, then they're obviously going to go higher up in my rankings. The projections are going to like them a little bit more. And even if, say, Honeycutt isn't as good as Poole, and Poole finishes higher, but Honeycutt just benefits from place differential via attrition or mechanical failures. Someone in the top 10 or 15, which will be the case, doesn't finish the race. And, well, I mean, in that case, both would probably benefit. But either way, Honeycutt could finish worse than Poole, but still be a better play. But at $500 more expensive, he might not be. Something that we'll have to factor in. There's no point to really go over that now. We need to see starting position. It's all rhetorical, hypothetical. Daniel Dye at 6,100. Good equipment, but not great equipment. Didn't look very good at Texas. Don't expect him to look very good. I would, despite it being a college car, still slot him below Poole, Weatherman, Sieg. Just don't see it happening. Jeremy Clements, just having the typical Jeremy Clements type season. Starting around the top 25, running around the top 25, finishing around the top 25. Does have some top 20s. At Dover, has much more experience than many of the drivers that we've expected. 6,200 for Jeremy Clements is not that bad. He is, what, the 24th highest priced driver on the board. Can he move forward? That's the issue. So we've gone over these guys. Clements can finish ahead of all of these drivers that we've already mentioned. He's also likely going to start ahead of all the drivers that we just mentioned. But as we look towards the top, it's going to be difficult for Clements to really climb past Jeb Burton, who had a good race car before wrecking at Texas last week, and is in better equipment with Jordan Anderson. Maybe he could dice it up a little bit with Matt DiBenedetto because the Sieg car is not quite a full Sieg car. They do share data. They are connected. But Viking Motorsports seems to be doing their own thing, building their own notebook, taking baby steps to move forward. DiBenedetto has talked about that. You can kind of see that in the data. So it's possible that Clements could creep ahead of him, but there's really not a lot of spots to gain. And you're spending a little bit more. Whereas down here, you get Brendan Poole for $700 cheaper, and Poole can get past Deegan, Weatherman, Sieg, Honeycutt, Dye, even Clements. He can make those moves and finish higher than those drivers. And they could fall below him. As they fall below him, they lose points. He gains points, and he's a better point but I'll play. If we can work in a 6,400 Burton, which I expect to be able to do, maybe the winning lineup's going to be building at the top and then taking two of these drivers in the 6K range because we have good equipment, we have good drivers, we have good experience. Now we're looking at the top of the middle pack, and they fit the mold of the previous Dover optimal lineups. You start where you start, you run where you run, you finish where you finish. And Jeb Burton, 6,400, had a borderline top 15 car at Texas. I don't even know if it's borderline. It was a top 15 car. A top 15 at 6,400. It's not going to be 50 fantasy points because he's not going to start in the back. But he'll get you around 35, 40 fantasy points. And that'll get the job done. Absolutely, 6,400. Same thing for Parker Retzlav. One of the neat things that if you are really into fantasy NASCAR, like diving into the stats, Jordan Anderson's team website does a really good job of breaking down individual drivers' races. You can see it on the screen, everything that Retzlav got into. And if you looked at his laps, he was running really well in this race. And you can see, though, Retzlav gets into the wall, losing multiple positions, lap 191. It's pretty cool for them to do that. Something that you can look forward to in your future doing research. So again, very similar to Burton, Retzlav, top 15 cars. He had a Sieg car once upon a day, got a 17th place finish. This is similar equipment. Normally I would say similar, if not better. But given how strong Sieg has been at Dover, it may not be as good. But again, Retzlav and Burton had speed at Texas. They should have maybe not quite top 15 speed, but they're going to be there in the top 20, which is where I expect the value plays to come from. So if lineup construction works, I think at the very least, we are going to end up with one of these 6K drivers, if not two. There could be a bit of like a Brendan Poole and a 6K guy. Matt DiBenedetto, Sieg. So as I mentioned, they do share some data. It's not a pure Sieg car, but I expect him probably have a little bit of speed. Would like to have seen a little bit more at Texas, but as I mentioned, it's not purely a Sieg car. And you can see that in the differentiation of speed between Ryan Sieg and Matt DiBenedetto. Still a quality car, up there at the top of the mid-pack. Maybe right at the bottom of the top of the mid-pack. But top 20 car, and maybe his 20th place car. So he's right there within striking distance. I think I would much rather go with Retzlaff or Burton, but he is going to be in play. They are going to move forward, obviously, running in the Cup Series. He's run a lot of races at Dover, so he knows how to run the track. And he's not trying to do anything crazy. He's not trying to be a hero. He is trying to protect his equipment, grow with his new team, understand that the situation, what he's in. He'll go out there and turn laps. So I don't believe we're going to necessarily get a lot of upside or aggressiveness from DiBenedetto. Whereas I think with Retzlaff and Burton, who are much more comfortable in their cars and in their positions, they're going to push a little bit harder. Maybe offer a little bit more upside, and they're a buck or two cheaper. Alfredo and Auer. We can see that Alfredo's had some pretty good races. Alfredo had a top 15 car last time around at Texas. If you can afford it, then yeah, I think you can go to Alfredo. He's right there, neck and neck with Retzlaff and Burton. We'll see how they run in practice. We'll see if any offers a little bit more place differential. But they are three of our favorites right now in the 6K range. Alfredo, Retzlaff, Burton. We're not considering really Clements because we just don't think he can get past these guys. DiBenedetto is still in the conversation. We'll see where he ends up qualifying. But he does not have, in my books, the upside of the others. Josh Williams going out there. I wonder how he's going to handle running a loose race car at Dover. Okay, races with Gosselin in the past. So you can bump up his finishing position a little bit. But I don't want to spend more for Williams when I can get Alfredo, I can get Burton, I can get Retzlaff. I don't know how much upside Williams is really going to offer you. Again, just one of the ways to approach this is, all right, here's Williams. He is the 19th car on the board. So for him to move forward, he's got to get past these guys. I mean, yeah, Brandon Jones can have a Jones-type day. But like, legitimately, straight up, he is not passing any of these drivers or outracing the equipment of these drivers. It's very limited. He can creep into the 15s. Well, same can be said of Anthony Alfredo, cheaper price. Ultimately, if I do go to Williams, it's going to be more of a place differential situation. I just like the experience of Alfredo with his team as opposed to Williams, although he has gotten better throughout the season. They are growing. But again, what we have seen recently, Richmond and Martinsville, not crazy about it. But he did have 16th of Texas. But Dover, I think it's just a little bit different of an animal. But hey, I want to completely write him off. And maybe I should consider him more along lines with Alfredo, Burton, and Retzlaff. And possibly, I need to give him more of the benefit of the doubt, be more charitable. And you're probably in the same situation. You came into the season expecting a lot more from Williams, and he came out so cold. But we understand why that was. And it is still hard to shake that expectation that we have. In reality, what this is, what's it, 2021? 2022, Landon Cassell got the Cullen car for a year. It was decent sometimes, but we had these grand expectations of Landon Cassell and Cullen and making his career, and it didn't happen. You remember that? Remember when Cassell had the third Cullen car, and we were all super excited, and then he was just kind of out there most of the time, 15th to 20th. He had a race or two where he'd have a good performance, but it wasn't anywhere near comparable to what AJ was doing. He didn't have anywhere close to the speed that Daniel Hemric had. He was just kind of the third guy on a team that had enough sponsors to run a third car. And that's pretty much what we were seeing with Williams. It's Landon Cassell 2.0, and he might be better. Cassell also gets a little bit of play because, you know, he's a fun guy. He's been around the Cup Series forever. He had that underdog thing that was even more played up than Josh Williams. During that COVID times, he was one of our favorite iRacers, hanging out on Twitch. You know, those weird things factor into, you know, the psyche. But ultimately, Williams is just not that great of a play. SVG's just going to go out there and turn. I cannot imagine him excelling at Dover. This thing is something like he's never raced before. we'll see. I mean, I guess we could look at Bristol and see. Oh, that's right. The truck ride in Bristol, not the Cup or Xfinity. So, yeah, that's going to be a new experience. If anyone is taking it easy, it's going to be SVG. No way I go there. Or I can afford to go there. Ryan Sieg at 7,500 is going to be a super duper play. Should get a top 10. Almost won at Texas. But he had a top 10 car. I mean, I know that's the way the race played out at the end. He wasn't a top 5 car, but still nearly wins the race. But he did have top 10 speed. 7,500 is very cheap, given his recent performances and his track history. I'm fine with it. Fine with Kligerman. Kligerman wrecked in the last race at Dover last season. Big Machine and Barchetta typically have top 15 cars. I just don't know if I'm going to be able to afford this kind of a play. The way that salaries have shaped up. So I think he's just kind of no man's land. Corey Heim's plate's going to be pretty full. That worries me. But at the same time, as I say that, it is known that Heim's plate's already full. He is TRD's number one guy, the Toyota Racing Development, and he spends all week in simulators, not just for the truck series. He's testing out all the tracks, doing a lot of the legwork like Alex Bowman used to do for Hendrick. He does that for the Cup Series. That's why he is going to be in the Cup Series car at Dover, which is a daunting task. But they didn't just flippantly pick Corey Heim to fill in for Eric Jones. TRD looked at who gave them the best situation, and it was Corey Heim. And they must see something in him at Dover. And so if he is constantly doing sim work, then he's always overworked. And yes, when he approaches this weekend, sure, he's probably going to be because these are both part-time rides, even though he does run with Sam Hunt quite often. But he's mainly a truck series driver. So, you know, for all intents and purposes, this is a part-time ride. And which race is Heim going to focus on? But imagine his bandwidth in the brain is only so much, and he's probably going to focus most of it on the Cup race. So that hurts him a little bit in this Xfinity race. Now, again, we're getting pretty deep in the weeds when we start to analyze the psyche of a specific driver and their mental approach, and if they're going to be too overwhelmed. You can spin the positive and say, well, he's going to get a lot of laps this weekend. A lot of reps could benefit him. Could wear him out as well. You know, between Friday morning and Saturday, or Friday and Saturday afternoon, who knows, still a young kid. $8,000, though, it's kind of tough to pay for. Sam Hunt, while they are good cars, do we really expect the Sam Hunt car to get much deeper into the top 10? Do we really expect Hunt to wheel and will this thing into the top 10? Probably not. A200, you get Brandon Jones. We know Brandon Jones. Junior Motorsports might give him a hot rod, and we saw in 2022 he led 22 or hog points. He could compete at this track as long as Jones doesn't Jones. At 8,200, it's really not that bad, given his experience and his equipment. You probably want to go that direction more than he would Heim. Carson Quapel, very limited experience as well. I can't imagine paying $8,300 for him. That seems pretty steep. At Dover, we do know he is going to be the next best thing. We're all excited to see that. But this just might be a matter of jumping in too soon. Xfinity Series, it's a Martinsville race, doesn't help us much. But it was a top five. Truck Series. Bristol. That does help us a little bit. Last year, first NASCAR Premier Series race. Spire, Hendrick Connection, finishes 12th, runs all 200 laps. That is encouraging. But when we come back to it, it is very hard to pay that price tag. They slapped a pretty solid price on him. We can pull up Andy Overstreet and look at his racing reference as a crew chief of the 88 car. Yeah, you can redirect me. No problemo. It's pretty good. Bubba Pollard got top 10, drove through the field at Richmond. Carson Quapel, top 5 in Martinsville. And then if you go back to 2022, 3 top 5s with Sam Mayer. What were those races? Shall we see what Mayer and Andy did? I got to dig through to find these. Taylor Moore was the most of them. There they are. They were Fort Worth, so Texas. Interesting. Charlotte. Interesting. And Darlington. Man, look at that. What a good run by Mayer and Andy Overstreet. And those are tracks that we would like to see. We all know that Charlotte and Dover correlate. Texas, correlation. Man. Quapel's going to have a pretty good ride this week. We'll see how that goes. You know, my initial reaction, I think the initial reaction of most people playing fantasy NASCAR is going to say, I can't spend 83 on Quapel. But, look, does the kid have some pure talent? Yes. Does Hendrick believe in him? Yes. Does Junior believe in him? Yes. He's checked every box. He's an elite late model racer. In his 2 races in the Premier Series of NASCAR, he's looked really good. He stepped up. And I know Martinsville wasn't really that much of a surprise. You know, I know people made fun of me for looking at late model track history. Well, who's laughing? Because his experience at Martinsville, his experience running in the Cars late model series, absolutely translated. Now, and I say that not to be a jerk. I say that in that we kind of expect him to do well in Martinsville, so that's not really a surprise to me. I guess it's a surprise to some people. And since I expected it, I can't really give him a huge boost for that Martinsville race. Plus, it's just a different type of racing. But for him to have that really good race at Bristol, which a bit of a fish out of water experience last season, to jump into a truck, run to Bristol where, you know, Cars is not really running anything with any sort of banking. And I don't think he's running up in, you know, Salem or Winchester. He may have one of those races in the lower series with high banking, but that's not really been his thing. And for him to go to Bristol and get 12th place in his debut, so every task that's been thrown his way, he's lived up to. Junior Motorsports is giving good equipment to these drivers. Andy Overstreet is running well as a crew chief when he steps in, and you look at those Sam Mayer races. And that wasn't necessarily when Sam Mayer was very good, if Sam Mayer was ever really good at any point. I mean, he's good, but he was still developing. It's interesting. Still don't like it at 8,300, but you got to consider it. That's a lot of Carson Quapel talk. But hey, that's what you're here for. Deep analysis. Taylor Gray, JGR, why not? Affordable. Chavka has been the lesser of the new crew chiefs for Toyota. You much rather want to go to the man, Tyler Allen, who's been in more of the elite ride. But Gray's been fine. Now, I think the fact that Taylor Gray is not racing this weekend at Dover tells you where TRD slots Gray in the program. Not that they're giving up on him, but he's just not their preferred guy. And so he's not in their preferred equipment. He'd get a top 10. Same thing with Smith. I'm not really in love with any of these guys as we tend to wrap up the podcast. But that being said, we can't just jam in Allgaier, Smith, Custer, Truex. We're going to have to dance with one of these drivers. And they all really have been consistently 5th to 10th. Gray probably a little less so, but Sammy stepping forward each race, getting better with his Junior Motorsports team. At 8,700, a little bit of salary relief, he's in play. Creed, much more upside. Creed also has tremendous downside. Ran pretty well for RCR last year, gets into a wreck. Jesse Love, I believe this is going to be a bit of a daunting task. If you want to, during your time, you can dig into what he did at Dover, a possible ARCA race in the past, a Bristol. pay ARCA race in the past. I don't think you need to do that at his price, because he's not really like some gem you're finding. And I don't think him winning a Bristol ARCA race is going to elevate him above anybody here, right? Let's say you do the ARCA research for Jesse Love. Oh, well, he had some really good whatever. That's not going to make him better than these drivers. That type of information, finding someone who ran well in an ARCA race, could move a driver who's 30th in price up to a possible top 20 type driver. Any ARCA experience is not going to add a benefit to Jesse Love. Riley Herbst, again, top five car this year. If you're looking at rating rank and we're looking at the specific tracks that matter, fifth best driver this season, can run in the top five, is running top five all day at Texas, blows a tire at the end. So he had the Texas speed that we want to see. Sam Mayer wins at Texas. Could be on a bit of a streak. Marty Lindley and him have been together for quite a while now. I mean, even way back in the ARCA days. Now spending more time in the Xfinity. They're getting there. They won. Probably shouldn't have won. But that's just the way these Xfinity races play out. I don't expect Dover to play out that way. I probably want to go a little bit more in the savings range, to be quite honest. Because once I get up to here, then I'm close enough that I can go up to the guys that I think are going to run fast laps, run in the top five all day, get fast laps, lead laps. AJ's a no for me. Austin Hill seems like an expensive way to just get fast laps only. I don't expect Hill or RCR, yet again, to be very competitive at an intermediate type track. Short tracks, road courses, plate tracks, I'm bored. I'm fine. But not that he's a slouch. It's just simply that Smith, Custer, Truex, Allgaier are much more better than Austin Hill or have better equipment. He can run top five. He can scrape fast laps. But can he do more so than Truex, Custer, Smith, or Allgaier? I'm confident in saying no. Truex absolutely destroyed this race last season. Tyler Allen has been on fire with John Hunter Nemechek, with Eric Almirola. Truex battled back after wrecking midway through the race two weeks ago with Chandler Smith at Texas. He's fast last season. This car is looking really good, like a real Joe Gibbs premier ride. It is a home track for the Jersey boy, trying to make a name for himself. He wants to go out there and get wins, finally get himself some permanent equipment. He's not really laying up. This is probably one of his best chances of the season. You get him a little bit cheaper. Yes, he is a top-tier pick. And you can see with my makeshift projections, temporary projections, you got him as a possible winner. Cole Custer hopefully will benefit from some practice this year. As I mentioned in the previous podcast, he does have some success back here in 2019. But ultimately, I still like Allgaier more. We've seen Custer fade too much on us. I mean, if you're building multiple lineups and jumping around, if everything is as we expect, then yeah, there'll be some Custer lineups. Custer's going to have to get the pole, which is never really that encouraging, even for Custer, and look really fast in practice and possibly on the long run for us to value him over Allgaier. We'll see what we get out of Smith. Wreck at Texas, we expected more, but he gets into the wreck. Things don't work out. Probably just didn't have the speed as some of the other drivers. It happens. He faded a little bit. Maybe the shine is wearing off. But also, it's quite the possibility that Smith is going to be more of the play at the short tracks, short flat tracks. Maybe not quite the monster or animal this season at the intermediates. Although he did, 43 Hulk points at Las Vegas. That was a long time ago. Richmond and Martinsville don't really matter. We saw him fade at Texas a little bit. Not that he just faded completely out of the picture before wrecking. But Allgaier simply was just better. And Allgaier, kind of the reverse, 7 Hulk points at Las Vegas, but 49 at Texas. Still had the 7th best driver at Las Vegas. Just didn't hit on it. Obviously was a monster at Texas. He's top of the board. No problem there. 2nd on the board for me is Truex. Probably going to try to jam those two in as much as possible. And then with Custer and Smith, I really want to see the practice data, starting positions. I think we might be overpaying a little bit for Smith or Custer. what we could see happen is Allgaier really controlling the race or Truex really controlling the race. And if you want to be bold and just go with one of these drivers, that is fine. But if you do that, like, who else is going to score points in this race? If it's a green flag run, where you run where you run, you finish where you finish. So if you take one of these drivers, well, I'm going to save a bunch of money. Well, where are you going to spend it? Obviously, if there's a place differential play from some of the 9K or 8K drivers that we expect to get close to the top 10, yeah, that's going to be an opportunity. But how many of those opportunities are going to be there, if they are there at all? In reality, you're going to take two of these guys for sure. Just even if Allgaier runs away with the race and say Custer or Truex runs in second the entire time, they're going to pick up fast laps. They're going to get a very good finishing position, point score. And although they might not score the second most fantasy points, they're going to still finish in the top five in DFS. And no one else is really going to be that efficient, or no one else is really going to score that many points. So they're going to work their way into that optimal line. There it is. I think that's pretty deep. I think that's pretty extensive. Hopefully that helped you. I appreciate you guys checking out the channel, liking and subscribing every time, sharing and recruiting more people. RaceForPrize.com, Venmo, PayPal, Cash App, $30 for the month of May. I'll throw in Dover. Blessed to have you guys around. Love you guys. Trip the light. Fantastic.